It's great to have you here today as we continue to learn about one of Jesus' most faithful followers, a woman by the name of Mary. Thus far, from the time I began giving you some insight into her life on Monday, we have learned that she is from a village located very near Jerusalem called Bethany. And she has a sister named Martha and a brother named Lazarus, whom Jesus has resurrected from the dead in a stunning, take-your-breath-away miracle. And I have established from Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, that this Mary knew her Lord well, indeed very well. Let's continue to learn the dynamics of the relationship between Mary and Jesus today. And so I want you to turn with me in your Bible, if you can, to John's Gospel, and insert one finger at chapter 11 and another finger at chapter 12. As I said last time, John chapters 11 and 12 go together. You need one to understand the other. I'll put our central text to you first, John 12, verses 1 through 3, and then we'll go back into the 11th chapter to continue to build the foundation stones on Mary's life. This is John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with Jesus. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Listen again, if you would, to verse 2a. So they made him a supper there. We can ask two logical questions on just this first part of verse 2. First, who is him? Who did they make the supper for? Answer, Jesus. This dinner party is in honor of Jesus. Second question, who are they that made Jesus a supper? Answer, primarily Martha, as usual, although others may have provided some dishes. And the Greek word here for supper indicates this was the main meal of the day, and it lasted some time. They were reclining at the table together, talking and enjoying one another. This was not dine and dash, the way most of us eat today, kind of ramming the food down our throats as we stare at our phones and text or scroll through the news or play games, all while loved ones or friends or colleagues sit just beside or opposite us doing the same. No, they made Christ's supper, and while they ate, they fellowshipped by engaging one another. A quick point of application here to parents. Can I just urge you today to use your God-given responsibility and set a new house rule for the kids? No mobile technology at mealtimes. Oh, and you should lead by example. Everyone surrenders his or her phones and tablets at dinner. You might even just get a basket to collect them all. Now, I know what you are likely thinking. If I do that, I'll have a battle on my hands. World War III. Well, then I say, prepare to go to war. The reward for your family will be sweet if you talk to one another over the meal rather than to your gadget. If you want, blame me. This guy I listened to today on the radio said to do it. All right, battle stations ready? I'll pray for you. All right, back to the text. And by the way, yes, I own a phone and I use it. So do not write to me and say, so what? Do you not have a phone? This is just a practical suggestion. So this is a supper time gathering in honor of the Lord? Oh, yes. They had a lot to celebrate, primarily the fact that in the previous chapter, John 11, Jesus had brought Lazarus back from the dead. Furthermore, in Matthew 26, verse 6, we learn that a man named Simon the leper owned this home where they had supper. That's Matthew 26, verse 6. And if you know anything about leprosy, then you know Simon could not have had leprosy at the time that he brought all these people into his house, because people plagued by that wretched disease were considered horribly unclean and were forbidden by Jewish law and by hygiene from being anywhere near others. The point is, prior to this, Jesus had healed this man Simon of his leprosy. He is an ex-leper. So, no wonder they're there to celebrate Christ. He's resurrected Lazarus, and he has cleansed Simon. And so, having set the scene of the party again, come with me on a quick tour of John chapter 11, and let me highlight Mary therein. Let's watch her interaction with Jesus and observe how well she knew him. Then, do not worry, we will get into verse 3 of John 12 when Mary bursts open her jar of perfume. To begin with, in John 11 in verse 5, the Apostle John makes a short statement that has got to be highlighted in our Bibles. John writes, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Wow, how profound. That's such a great sentence. John 11, verse 5. "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." Imagine that being said of you. "Now Jesus loved your name." Well, if you are a disciple of Christ today, a Christian person, then that is exactly how Jesus feels about you. You. "Now Jesus loved your name." And our point of contact with this verse is that we know Jesus loved Mary because Mary is Martha's sister. Stick with me now in John chapter 11, just moving your finger down the text with me, or taking a mental note of these verses if you are driving. And come down to verses 17 through 20. I'm reading John chapter 11, verses 17 through 20. "So when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house." Remember, at this point, Lazarus is dead and buried. We've moved back in the timeline of events to the period where Martha and Mary's brother Lazarus has died. The text tells us he has been in the tomb 4 days. And note that many of the Jews have traveled to the village of Bethany and the home of the sisters to console them, to mourn with them and bring them comfort at the untimely death of their beloved blood brother. We often do the same thing when someone dies. We go to their home and comfort their loved ones. But there's another little nugget I want to give you here, and that's this. Given cultural considerations, the gathering of these Jews at this home most likely meant that Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were a wealthy family. And that may well explain why Mary has that alabaster vial of very costly perfume that I'll be saying more about soon. Furthermore, I want you to notice in verse 20 of John 11 that when the sisters hear that Jesus was coming, they reacted in keeping with their persistent personalities. Martha rushed out to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. There goes Martha again, bursting with energy, a real doer. While Jewish custom dictated that those who were mourning sat at the feet of those who came to comfort them, when Martha hears about the Lord, she breaks protocol and leaps up and out of the house. But Mary, in keeping with her contemplative and usual mood, stays at the house, at least at this point. But come again with me, skipping many verses and further comment, down to John 11 and verse 28b. And let me give you a little summary before I read that verse. Just prior to this, Martha has met Jesus in a remarkable dialogue that you must read on your own time. That's John 11, verses 20 to 28. Mark this down and read it later, John 11, 20 to 28, and the conversation between Martha and Jesus. It is assumed in the text that Jesus must have sent Martha to fetch Mary, and so let's pick up the reading at verse 28b. "Martha called Mary her sister, saying, 'Secretly, the teacher is here and is calling for you.' And when Mary heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to Jesus." Now go down to verse 32. "Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at Jesus' feet." Will you note that, please? What does Mary do when she gets to Christ? The Bible says she falls at his feet. This is the mourning, the sad and emotional, the heartbroken woman who's missing her brother terribly. But when she arrives at the place where Jesus is, she falls down weeping. Verse 33, "When Jesus saw Mary weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled." What I want you to observe here is the posture of Mary. She is again at the feet of the Lord whom she loves. And she believes by faith that Jesus can fix the tragedy of her brother's death. Okay, thus ends our quick tour of John chapter 11, looking at Mary therein. And remember, I'm giving you everything I have said Monday, Tuesday, and today as just as background to who Mary is and some of her previous interactions with Jesus. All of this is a setup for what she does to Christ in John 12, verse 3. So let's go back there. John 12, verse 3 reads, "Then Mary took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume." That's John 12 and verse 3. Hear now also how Matthew describes this same initiative of Mary. Back now in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26 and verse 7, "A woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table." That's Matthew 26, 7. And Mark, the gospel writer Mark, also describes the same initiative of Mary. Listen to what he writes in Mark 14, verse 3. "There came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard, and she broke the vial and poured it over Jesus' head." That's Mark 14, verse 3. So we have the same story told from different angles in Matthew, Mark, and John. And just in case you are curious, Luke does not tell it. Now, some of you keen Bible students out there might say, what about Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 39? Luke 7, "There a woman also anoints Jesus with an alabaster vial of perfume. Isn't she Mary?" No, she is not. The setting of that true story is Galilee. The setting of Mary's true story is Bethany. The woman in Luke 7 was a prostitute. The woman in Matthew, Mark, and John's account is Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, who was never a sex worker. Luke's account is not this. Now, tomorrow on this broadcast, we'll learn the penetrating meaning of Mary's act of love for Jesus. So join me then, for God is...